Hello, everyone. This is Raise Your Voice as part of the D-Raise Bay Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brett Rutherford. And joining me today on this very special, very exciting episode of Raise Your Voice is Alex Murphy from Raise the Roof. Alex, Wander Franco, called up. We're recording like about an hour after the news broke. Instant reaction.
Well, when it happened, so we have like a group chat of the people that are on the Raise the Roof podcast, which if you guys haven't checked it out, make sure to do that. I'll probably throw my links in that later. But so one of us to our Evan put it in the group chat, and I was like, there's no way this is real, because it's probably from some like fake Mark Topkin account, because there's like a million of those. And I'm probably sure like people can do that all the time. And then as soon as I saw it, I was like, no, there's no way. It's June. I was about to say it's May, but it's June. Like how is he up? I'm so confused. And then it was just like one of those things where, I mean, I'm sure you probably felt the same way, where I just looked at my screen for probably like 10 minutes and was just like, there's no possible way that he just got called up. This isn't real. I don't know how to feel right now. And that's kind of been how I've been, you know, how I felt like for the last hour or so, along with the Sixers game going on, which is interesting. Let's say that
it's been a roller coaster of emotions. Like obviously Rays are on a six game losing streak. Four of those were walk-offs. Like it's weird. We had the Tyler Glasnow injury like earlier this week. So There's a lot of like emotions, but in terms of like the Wander call up, and we'll start there. That's the biggest story. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about Glasnow and everything else. But with Wander, I kind of felt like we were getting close to that time. We're past the Super 2 deadline. He's killing it in AAA. He's hit the whole season. He's had zero issues. I don't think it has anything to do with the losing streak. Like this wasn't a move of like, oh, we need to get someone up here to like, you know, rally the troops. Like, I don't think that's what this was.
It's kind of more coincidental. And I think it's funny that it's more coincidental that it happened, because it's like, oh crap, walk-off grand slam, you know, they've now lost six games in a row. Oh wait, Wander just got called up. Wow, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
Well, and you look at some of the this is the times when other Rays prospects have called up. It was like this middle late July. We saw the same thing with Willie Adames. Willie Adames also made his debut against the Red Sox, but you've got the off day going into this homestand where it's like, okay, if it's going to happen soon, this will be the day to have it, or this will be the start of the series where you could expect him getting called up. And I think kind of like the discussion that needs to be had, like he's going to come up, he's going to be up for good, you know, seemingly, and he's going to start. Like he's not here to just like, obviously just contribute. He's going to be a starter in a very similar way that Taylor Walls came in and became the starting shortstop. Mm-hmm. But the question is, where do you play Wander? And there's still roster moves that are yet to be made. Someone's got to come off the 40 man. Drew Rasmussen was sent down. We can talk about that in just a second. But Alex, like, where do you think Wander immediately? Well, let's just say Tuesday night. What position do you think he starts in?
Well, I think that the most logical position, considering the fact that Walls is going to be the shortstop of the future for the time being. You know, however long
That was a very Rays way to put that. Walls will be shortstop of the future for the time being.
Hopefully it'll be for a long period of time in Rays time, but who knows. He's going to be the shortstop of the future for hopefully a while. And considering the other places where guys are playing, obviously Lau's holding down the fort at second base for the time being. Wander doesn't play first, and first is kind of like a rotating wheel of guys. Third base seems like the most logical place that he would play. I really don't want them I think a lot of people have wanted him to play third base and have thought of him as slotting into that third base role. And I think it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, you're going to be, if he's going to be the starter, if Wander's going to be the starter at third, that means you're going to need to find a place for Joey Wendell. You're going to need to find a place for Yandy Diaz and anyone else who plays third. So that I think is another question that we can talk about, and another thing we can talk about in just a second, but at least in my mind, it makes the most sense for him to start at third whenever he – now, I don't know if it's going to be on Tuesday, but whenever he makes his debut, he's probably going to start at third or DH, one of the two.
Yeah, I think you got to get him on the field right away. I think third base for Tuesday is probably most likely. Mm-hmm. Lau could move to the outfield. He can spend some time out there. I've been kind of banging the drum of Brandon Lau trying out first base at some point. I don't know if that's going to be a mid-season switch. Maybe that's something looking into next year, assuming Brandon Lau is still with the team. But that's the other thing. Like, they're, I think eventually, and there was probably going to have to be one anyways, a trade from the big league roster, whether that be Brandon Lau, Joey Wendell, Yandy Diaz, although I think that one's a little less likely. Brasso, who's with AAA, but he might be dealt. And it's a good problem, like the Rays have. Like, Joey Wendell has been, I think, still their highest contributing player, or at least position player, in terms of Fangraphs wins above replacement. So to just be like, oh, Wander Franco is going to come up and, you know, take his job, it takes a generational talent like we think Wander could be. So I think third base and Wendell, you'll find playing time for at second base. You know, Wander can move around. Like, there's going to be playing time for those guys. But Wander is up to play and he's up to stay, which is just like, it's really exciting. And I can't think of the only, like, the last, Willy Adames coming up was huge. And that was a big moment. This is going to be just a completely different level.
This is going to be bigger than Longo, to be honest. And like, Longo was a big thing when he came up.
I think you're right.
But considering the fact that, and one of the craziest things that I saw with Franco is that I think it was Baseball America. He's been the top prospect 2 years running in Baseball America. And he's one of four guys to do it. And the other three guys were Andrew Jones, Joe Mauer, and Bryce Harper. So if you're in company with those three guys, two of whom borderline to possible Hall of Famers, and the other one being a guy who's won an MVP and is probably a top 25 to 30 player in baseball, that's a really, really, really good cast of people to be surrounded with in terms of accolades. So that's extremely big. And that's just, it's still crazy to think about that he's that good. And obviously, I mean, we saw in spring training, he hit that home run, which I still don't know if it landed. I know that, like, one of our people said that they heard from someone down in Port Charlotte that it was like 500 plus feet. And I just don't know. I feel like, especially because of the fact that he's been in the minors so long, and obviously we've only seen him in bits and pieces, video in the minors, unless like you've actually been going to games in Durham or you've been going to games in Bowling Green, or Port Charlotte before Port Charlotte became, went by the wayside with Major League Baseball. And obviously my spring training, like there's just a lot of mystique around him about like how good he is. And it seems like in terms of statistics wise, and from what I've seen, he's lived up to the hype and then some. And the craziest thing is that his statistics this year, I think his average and on base percentage have been the lowest in his minor league career so far. And he's batting like .315. He's got like a .370 on base. And that's insane for a guy to have. That's his worst statistics, right? Which is just, how is that physically possible? I have no clue.
It's exciting. You mentioned Longo. I think the other one, like David Price, his call up was different.
That was a big
like,
one.
It was in the postseason. The other one I can think of is Matt Moore back in 2010 or 11.
I can see
he was,
that.
You know, he was the number one prospect in baseball. Had some really great moments with the Rays. But yeah, I think in terms of talent, Wander Franco is the most talented prospect the Rays have ever had. And it's exciting. Like, there's like, to have a team like this that is still one of the best teams in the American League, that's half game out of first place in the American League East. That took a 6-game losing streak for them to get there.
Yeah.
To be able to add a player like this. And again, he's still a rookie. I don't want to drive up the expectations because they're already sky high. And I think the Rays know that. I think Wander probably understands that too. It's just exciting to see a player's career start like this, and it does add another wrinkle to this season. Like, we knew it was coming, but like you said, it's just still like it hasn't set in. It probably won't set in until we see him take the field on Tuesday. I am currently in the Tampa Bay area. I was supposed to be leaving Tuesday morning or maybe even Monday morning. I might try to stay one more day. I might try to get over to the drop.
Honestly, you should try to do that. Now, what I want to ask you is, so between, and I think when I think of the Rays farm system, Brujan and Franco are the two big guys that come to my mind. I honestly, coming into the season, was way more excited to see Brujan because I felt like he was more major league ready. I don't know what your opinion is about that, but is it interesting to see Brujan coming up before Franco?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's interesting. I thought Brujan would be the first one up. I think they're both equally major league ready. I think either of them could contribute right away, right now. And maybe there's an issue that they both haven't already been called up, that we were kind of waiting for this Super 2 deadline. That's a whole other podcast that we could do another day. But I think Vidal Brujan is not far behind, like maybe this week. Who knows? I'm no inside knowledge there. I'm just like, it's a guess. Like it would take a move. I think that would take a trade. And as we get closer to July 31st, I think there's a move coming to make room there. Like whether it's Brandon Lau or Joey Wendell. It just feels like that's kind of the way we're headed, because like Brujan's performed maybe the best out of anyone in AAA, like even over Wander, and he deserves a spot as well. And I think that there's room for him. Maybe an outfielder needs to be traded, because I think the Rays see him as a center fielder in the future. But
yeah,
with that being said, like it's just exciting, and I think I don't think, and we got to be clear about this. Like this was not a move made to counter, like to after the losing streak, to just be like, oh look, now Wander's coming up. Be excited about that. Like I think
very coincidental. Put it that way.
Yeah, I think they probably had this date penciled in for quite a while, like I said, with the homestand, with the off day, with the time on the calendar that it is. But that doesn't make it any less exciting. So we'll see. He'll start Tuesday night, and by the time I'll have recorded the next episode of Raise Your Voice, he'll have had a handful of major league games in his bag. So we're going to take We're going to take a real quick break, and then, I don't know, maybe this show is going to take a more of a somber tone, as we've got to talk about Tyler Glasnow's injury and the recent losing streak. All right, so, Alex, we've got to talk about the Tyler Glasnow news. We're coming off of this Wander high that we'll be riding well through the week, but Tyler Glasnow diagnosed with a partially torn UCL and a flexor strain.
Yep.
Which has him out for the time being. I think the best case scenario is back pitching in September, and then he'll be ready to go, like fully stretched by the postseason. But we really don't know. Maybe it could be sooner than that. He might be out for the year. Really don't know.
Yeah,
it's obviously devastating to lose a pitcher of that caliber, your best pitcher, a guy that was going to be in the Cy Young race. Whether or not he was going to win it is another question. But how much do you think this hurts the Rays' chances? Not to get to the postseason, but to have success in the postseason.
It right now. Now I know that what I saw the last time, because he went to some specialist in Arlington to check it out and kind of see, you know, get an extra diagnosis from the from whoever that person was, and he I think I heard that it was going to be like 4 weeks or something like that. He was going to be shut down, and then after that he was actually going to start ramping up. Whatever that is. So maybe it'll be sooner than September, but regardless, having him out, it'll be the same thing as kind of what happened in 2019, where, I mean, obviously Glasnow got hurt in May, was out until August, September, and in the postseason really wasn't crazy healthy. And obviously the Rays playing the Astros, that hurt big time, because they needed an ace, and they did have Snell and Morton at the time. But regardless, having Glasnow would have helped in a big way. And obviously game five tipping pitches unintentionally really hurt his outing then. But with this season, he's the main guy, and the Rays have pieced together an entire rotation of guys behind him, whether that be adding in new signings or bringing up guys like Shane McClanahan and Josh Fleming. And Glasnow has been that guy at the top, and he's been very consistent and very good so far this season. And it's going to hurt in a big way, unless they can get someone at the deadline or they can trade for some pitcher. And who knows, maybe that happens with trading someone like a Joey Wendell or someone like a Yandy Diaz or a Brandon Lau. If they somehow can get some sort of starting pitcher, if they're even going to go that route, but it's going to be tough for them to try to piece things together. Obviously, they've gotten production out of guys. I know Rich Hill has struggled in his last few starts, but in May, he was the pitcher of the month for a reason, because he had a spectacular month. Yarbrough has seemed to figure things out as a starter, because obviously he was brought up as an opener, so he got really used to that role. And as a starter, he just kind of struggled. And it seems like now he's getting back into that form where he's actually, you know, able to pitch as a starter. But it's going to be tough for them to kind of piece things together. And hopefully Glasnow will be back sooner rather than later, and everything will be good with his elbow, so that he doesn't, you know, like something bad doesn't happen in the future. Everything's all healed, but who knows? And honestly, I do think that it's going to have some sort of ramifications in terms of the success that this team can have going into the postseason and the postseason itself.
Yeah. Like if he misses the postseason, if he's out for the rest of the regular season, like I don't think it significantly hurts the Rays' chances of making the playoffs. Like they've already got a first place caliber team. I know they're, you know, now in second, but we're just like a week removed from them having the best record in the big leagues. So I don't like, again, a pitcher, they only pitch every fifth day. They pitch every five games. So in terms of making the postseason, in terms of repeating as AL East champs, there really is no real significant difference, especially with the pitching that the Rays have. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you want more performance out of guys like Waka. But I've been saying, and my biggest worry, and I don't know how it's going to play out, because I do think the Rays have the pitching to succeed in October.
Yeah.
But you go into this postseason, assuming they make it, without Charlie Morton and Blake Snell, like that was already a big enough hit. Now, again, still assuming Glasnow is going to be ready by October in some capacity. Maybe he can't go 7 or 8, but maybe he can give you 4 or 5 really solid innings in October. But if he's not there, if say if like this is not going well, or, you know, knock on wood, God forbid, worst comes to worst, he has to go under the knife. I do really worry about like the Rays pitching staff in October. And maybe this is still like the traditionalist like baseball fan in me, but to have a horse there that can give you 12 to 15 innings in the same series is really huge, just like in my head. I could be completely wrong. Maybe it won't mean a thing. Maybe you can piece together Fleming and Patino and Yarbrough and Rich Hill and maybe even Michael Wacha in the biggest games of your season. But it does like make me a lot more worried. Now, yeah, like you said, maybe they go out and look at a starting pitcher. But how many are out there that are going to make this team, again, significantly better?
That's a good point.
The Rays aren't going to go all in. Like, yeah, Max Scherzer's out there. And if the Nationals are willing to do business, the Rays should definitely be, you know, involved in those talks. But someone's going to outbid the Rays. Like, there's going to be a team that's going to be willing to bid more in terms of their farm system than the Rays are for a rental pitcher. There are some other names, and we talked about it when we had RJ Anderson on the podcast. Herman Marquez, we've talked about guys on the Cincinnati rotation. I think we looked at Kansas City's and Texas's rotation as well. Like, there are other starters to be had, but the question really is, like, do any of them make the team better?
That's true.
And but the Rays will still look at those guys if they think they can add to the team next season. So
yeah.
I kind of, you know, stand put with, like, okay, getting to postseason, they're fine. They can do it without Glasnow. Once you get there, I really hope he's healthy. I do think there is that he's a bigger difference maker in a playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the losing streak. 6 straight games, a 4-game sweep in Seattle. Now, listen, losing 2 out of 3 on the road against the White Sox, and one of them being a walk-off, like a 1-run game.
Yep.
Literally no shame in that. Like, the White Sox are going to come back to the drop. The Rays will have their chance against the White Sox. I think that's a potential ALCS preview. But with the Mariners series, it's just, it sucks because the Rays always go to Seattle and lose. And so I try not to get, like, too bogged down. And when I had Bree on, we talked about it because Bree was on in the middle of the win streak. And we said, like, there's going to be losing streaks ahead. Like, this isn't going to be like this the whole season.
Yep.
But what's kind of your... Before the Wander call up, obviously, which changes your mood. But what has your mood been throughout this weekend watching them lose, sometimes in painstaking fashion, to the very mediocre Seattle Mariners?
Well, A, I got a feel for Seattle because, I mean, the Mariners haven't – I mean, there's all the stuff about, you know, Mariners haven't made a postseason in 20 years, haven't made a World Series, all that stuff. So that's already pain in itself. But watching this series, and especially coming off of what happened in the White Sox series, obviously – there was the Glasnow injury, and then there was the interview after the Glasnow injury, and then all of the stuff that's happened since then with, you know, sticky substances and baseballs and just wild stuff there. And then the aftermath of that with the 2-game losing streak after the White Sox series, and that, you know, they showed fight in that last game. I kind of thought they were out of it, and they came back. They were able to make it a game. It was a great game. It was a fantastic game. I got to give credit to Brett Phillips in that, you know, in the eighth inning. I think he was the one who came around to score, right, from first base on the double, if I'm not mistaken.
On the Margot double, yeah.
Yeah, that was heads-up base running from him, and obviously tied the game. They didn't get lucky in the ninth inning, and then in the and then in extras to lose. And then the Seattle series, which I think the thing that makes it worse for us as East Coast people is that the games start at 10 and they don't end until like 1:30 in the morning. So there's me trying to tweet about this game. And then Fairbanks unfortunately blowing two straight games. And one of them, I'm like, it's like 1:30 in the morning. Why did I sit through this entire thing just to watch this happen like this? And I mean, like I was going to follow the game and watch it regardless, but it's just one of those things where I'm like, I'm literally about to fall asleep right now. And then they lose. And it was kind of deflating in that sense. And obviously today's game was deflating with the grand slam and the questionable ball that was called in. I forget who, which guy was up, but it was a questionable call there.
It wasn't questionable. It was a bad call.
Well, I mean, questionable wasn't, it was a bad call. And yeah, I mean, umpiring across the board has been terrible, but yeah. Oh my God. I mean, I didn't know they were that bad in Seattle. And then I found out how bad they were in Seattle. And then I was like, I mean, should we have expected this to start? I think that going into that first game when they got that big lead and then Hill looked pretty good on the mound and obviously gave up the runs and ended up that lead kind of went by the wayside. I was way more optimistic. And then as the series went on, I was just like, oh God, it's getting worse. Seattle's going to find a way to win because baseball, like it's going to happen regardless. And then obviously, you know, the loss today and now 6-game losing streak.
There's a group of American League teams, and I think we forgot as Rays fans what it was like to see the Rays, especially go on the road to play those teams. It's the Kansas City Royals, the Seattle Mariners, the Texas Rangers, the Tigers, Cleveland. You could throw in that category, even though they've been very competitive in recent years and had some exciting names. But it's like you just know there's going to be some crap that happens in those series that is going to drive you up a wall. It's like last year. Every series felt like it meant a bunch, unless you're playing the Orioles, even though they swept us last year. But it was like a 60-game season. You were playing big-name teams in your division and in the NL East. Like, every series felt big. And it's like, oh, we have to play 4 games on the West Coast against the Mariners? Like, yeah. It's hard to get up for those games. I, too, the game that Fairbanks blew in the ninth, I had a 10 o'clock cup of coffee. And it's just disappointing. And again, like a lot of these losses, like some of them were fluky. Some of them, you know, maybe Rich Hill gets pulled a batter earlier. Like you win that game, you know, it's like it's not like the baseball was terrible throughout the whole series. Bullpen, maybe a little worrisome, but not to the point where definitely not in panic mode. And then like today's game, like you said, the strike call that wasn't with Diego Castillo on the mound. I didn't even have the energy to be upset at that point. It felt clear that we were going to lose that game. Even after that call, Castillo couldn't find the strike zone.
Well, I did want to ask you, did you like the fact that they didn't play small ball in the 10th do you want the Rays to play small ball with this new extra innings rule? Or do you want them to go at it as is?
If you're the away team, you got to try to score 2 runs in the top of the 10th. So bunting over the runner to third, unless there's some sort of shift and you've got a guy that can beat it out and try to get yourself runners on the corners and no outs, it really is pointless to try to score 1 run in the 10th, because then you're just giving it over to the home team who could score 1 to tie it and another 1 to win it. So I think you've got to just hit, unless, again, you've got a situation where you really think you've got maybe like a Brett Phillips that can beat it out. Or a Joey Wendell maybe, but no, they, I don't know. If you're the home team, like the Mariners did successfully, and you've only got to score the 1 run and it's already at second base, yeah, it's worth bunting over. But the away team, you just got to play it out. And again, it's like even though it feels like the Rays are losing all of these extra inning games, especially when they're on the road, it's still a pretty small sample size. You know, it's like, it's still only been a handful of games.
Yep.
And they just haven't hit in them. They'll score like 8 runs in the first 9 innings and then, you know, just can't hit in the 10th. Well, it's fine. I'm not worried about those. Overall, I think what I'm taking away from this week is the fight this team had, like you said, in the series against Chicago in that last game. Brandon Lau hitting a huge home run down to the last out on Saturday night. Like, that was a big-time hit from a guy who's struggled at some points this season but's come up with some big home runs.
I think he's definitely rebounded in a way over these last – I would say, like, over the last week or so. Now, obviously, him rebounding is not, like – that's not, like, him hitting 300 now. Like, he's still hitting around the Mendoza line. But even him just looking more consistent at the plate, I think, is more beneficial for this team down the road.
Yeah, especially when the pop is where it's at. Like, he doesn't need to – 2020, I don't want to call it an anomaly for Brandon Lau, because I do think that is like his peak. But he's not going to be doing that every single season throughout the entire season. But if he has those home runs in him, I think he'll be just fine. He's obviously a very valuable player for the Rays.
Yep.
For the time being.
Yeah, for the time. It's all for the time being. It's just it's the go-to phrase.
He's definitely going to be traded by the time I release this tomorrow morning.
I swear to God, if he gets traded, I'm going to start crying, because I was like, because the one thing that freaked me out was, I don't know if you remember when they changed the bobblehead stuff and like the Lau bobblehead. I was like, I swear to God, if this guy gets traded, I'm going to lose it. And then I find out that it was a manufacturing thing. And I actually thought it was funny, because like we were kind of like the account that like made it a thing, and then Topka tweeted about it. And I was like, oh, we made Topka tweet about something. Let's go. But that turned into nothing. But I don't know.
That'd be a really shitty way to say that someone was traded, if you're just pulling his bobblehead. So
That's what I was thinking.
No, apparently it was the shipping issue, but he could be traded. Probably will be, now that we're talking about it, because there still does need to be a 40-man move, so who knows?
That's true. That's a good point.
Let's talk about Michael Wacha. He struggled recently.
He's been so interesting as a pitcher, because obviously we saw his peak, and his peak was in New York at the start of the season, him throwing, what was it, 6 scoreless innings, holding the Yankees' bats in check. I mean, that was a very impressive outing, and he still has that in him. He still has shades of what he was a couple years back on the Cardinals when he was an all-star caliber pitcher, when he was probably a number two, maybe even a number one guy. But like, it's just, that's so inconsistent now. And I think that the Rays were hoping that it would be just a little bit more consistent in terms of the production that he had. And I still think that he can give something that's positive to this rotation. But I think maybe this team was hoping for kind of what he's done so far. But I mean, they were taking a flyer on him. They were taking a risk on him. And it's kind of been, I feel like, honestly, through the good and the bad, it's been what we've expected, like what we should have expected to start, because he's had good flashes and he's had bad flashes, and the good has been good and the bad has been bad. So, you know, it's kind of been like that. I would say that's probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah, I think Patino is going to be up at some point soon, and maybe you tandem Patino and Wacha, where they're giving,
I hope he's up soon,
a combined 6 or 7 innings. I think that could be the type of role he pitches in terms of like multi-inning relievers. Like, Colin McHugh's already got that role down on lock, and he's been great.
He's been fantastic since he got injured. He needed to do was get injured, and then he turned into an absolute just fantastic pitcher. I was so out on him. And then as soon as he came back from injury, he just became, you know, virtually unhittable. Or, I mean, the closest thing to unhittable that you can see. And I've been so impressed. I'm so happy that he's pitching as well as he is.
And so maybe, like, I know they already sent Rasmussen down, so I don't expect another move to be made from the active roster unless there is a trade. But, you know, you might get Wacha DFA'd at some point in the next month or so. Like, I think you got to try to milk him for as many innings and just,
well, do you think that's going to happen? Do you think he's going to get DFA'd?
No, not now, but if he's still struggling and you get to a point where you either need to bring someone else in on the 40 man or make a trade where you're bringing in multiple players, he could be that guy on the chopping block, but you've still got a number of other relievers that can be let go. Ryan Sheriff, Sean Poppin, they got in a really small trade. Lewis Head, love the guy, but he's probably not going to stick around for too long. And then Wacha is also on that list. So I don't know. Chris Mazza as well is still on the 40 man. I think Wacha can contribute. So I would say, he's kind of not earned his spot, but if he continues to go downhill, he could be on the chopping block, and cause he won't have any trade value. I don't think it would definitely be a DFA, and then maybe somebody puts a waiver claim on him.
Yeah, but I'm not expecting much out of it from that. I mean, like, his value, his value is probably the highest that it's been in a while. And like, that's still extremely low.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. All right. I've got to ask you, who's on your all-star? What Rays are on your all-star ballot?
Well, right now, I like Zunino on it. I know, obviously, Salvador Perez has looked really, really good from the catching position. But, I mean, Zunino has been – this has been his best season by far on the Rays. I didn't expect this at all, and I've been really happy that he's been producing as much as he has. I know Andrea put out a thing, like, earlier in the season about, like, how he's switched his batting stance kind of over the last 3 years. And honestly, I think it's helped. I think it's helped in a big way. And I think that he's been a better hitter overall. And he's not going to hit for average. Cause I mean, his best season hitting for average was like 250. So, yeah. I mean, if they could get that back, that would be incredible. But him doing what he's done so far, I've been very, very happy about that. I want to put in Meadows, but I can't because there's so many other guys that are so much better. Or I'm so much better as in like there are just guys that have been more incredible than he's been at the DH position, notably Shohei Ohtani. And to not put Shohei Ohtani in the All-Star game is basically like a crime against humanity because that man is incredible. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that would be of note. Like I was thinking Randy's maybe Lau. Yeah, Randy's up there for sure. Randy's looks really good, but I mean,
the dark horse would be Joey Wendell, but it's not going to happen. I think
he's not going to get the support, but
I think he's listed as a shortstop. I don't think Randy is going to get he might make the team, but definitely not enough to start. I think Zanino's got the best chance to start, but even that is unlikely. Like you said, Salvador Perez, not only is he playing great, even though I think Zanino's been better, he's going to get the name recognition. And he's going to get the votes, I think, more so than Mike Zunino, which is sad. You know,
it's also crazy that like, who was the guy from like the Astros who's ahead of him and like Kurt Suzuki's ahead of him. And he's played in like 30 games this year.
Was it Martin Maldonado?
How was that? Yeah. How were both of those guys ahead of him in any way? Like I understand Yasmani Grandal, even though he's hitting like 120 and he's walking like every third plate appearance, but like
Yasmani Grandal's slash line is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It's everything I wanted.
It's so stupid. It's so dumb. It's like Chris Davis, but like if Chris Davis figured out how to walk more.
Oh, I love
it. It's kind of the best way to describe
that
is it.
A good defensive catcher that can frame pitches and throw guys out and draw a bunch of walks. That's like, in my opinion, the perfect baseball player. And I wish the Rays would have gotten Grandal.
I agree. Sorry to cut you off, Bob, but what were you saying before that?
I was just saying I was going to quote Tommy Pham and say that the All-Star starter should just be determined based on WRC+, which I think I haven't checked in a while. Zunino would still be towards the top of that list. Okay. Catcher WRC+. Maybe Salvi is up there. I honestly have no clue. But yeah, I wish Zunino's probably going to make the team. And the Rays fans have to remember, like, Kevin Cash is the manager. So he's going to get I don't know exactly how it works,
strings.
But the manager does get like a huge say in the bench, if not like the final say. Like, I know there's like the extra voting and they're doing things a little differently. But I expect Mike Zunino to be on the All-Star team. I don't know about like pitchers. Maybe I have no clue how it's going to work, but we'll definitely see a couple Rays and Meadows probably as well. Who knows? Maybe Meadows home run derby. I doubt it. But if some of these other guys decline.
Do you think so? Ohtani's already said yes, which is fantastic. Vlad's done it before. I don't know what he's going to say, but do you think that who is it? Vlad, Tatis, Soto, and Acuna, if any four of them are going to go in?
I think Vlad will do it. I think the story, at least that might be wishful thinking. At least the storyline between him and Ohtani, who are going to be racing for the American League MVP, having this midsummer face-off in the home run derby would be just incredible, in my opinion, especially if they had matched up in the bracket. But I don't know. It's really just up to those guys. Soto might pass. I know he's like not putting up his best numbers right now. Acuna is. He's doing incredible. I think he'd be.
I don't know why I put Soto on there. I was going to say, no. Yeah.
Well,
no,
Soto could definitely do it still. He could definitely still do it, but I just don't know if he would. That's what I'm saying.
In terms of like big stat guys,
you need eight guys. But and I know John Ford at D-Rays Bay is going to make sure that I say Mike Zunino in the home run derby. Like, that's another guy in terms of power. He's got more pure power
than
a lot of guys in Major League Baseball.
Imagine like him and Matt Olson in the home run derby.
Oh, that would be awesome. He's not going to be the first name that Major League Baseball asks. But again, if you get to a point where a lot of these guys don't want to do it, Hey, Mike Zunino's already here in Colorado.
He's going to be like Mark Trumbo. He's going to be like what Trumbo was when he when Trumbo was in Kansas City and he hit that home run on the top of the Royals Hall of Fame and everyone was like, holy crap, who the hell is this man? That's going to be Zunino if he gets chosen because it's in Colorado and Zunino's a righty and no one's hit the scoreboard at Coors Field ever. And that – or. I feel like it's never been hit, even though it's come close and obviously guys have hit on the concourse. Like he could hit the scoreboard.
I don't know if Zunino's got the ability to hit like a bunch of home runs and win the home run derby, but he could definitely hit the longest home run out of all these.
Oh, he could hit the longest one.
Him or Vladdy or Shohei would be like if they're all three in it, like they'll hit the longest ones. Olsen could probably get one, you know, close to five. Someone's gonna hit 500 feet this year.
Oh, do you think that Shohei could clear the left field bleachers? Do you think he could clear it entirely? Because someone like guys have hit it up to the upper deck, but no one's ever cleared it.
In left field or right field?
I feel like right field, which would be crazy if it happened.
He could clear it. Yeah, definitely. We're gonna see some crazy stuff, which is like honestly what the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby should be all about. And so it's exciting. Hopefully all these guys do it. Like hopefully Vlad does it. Hopefully Zunino gets offered the chance to do it. I think he would take
that. That would be so cool if he got offered. That'd be so cool.
We'll see. It'll be fun. And yeah, keep voting for as many Rays as you want. 5 times a day. Or make a second email account. Vote 10 times a day. Do whatever you want.
Or or just like use like all of your emails. Use like all of the emails that you have to vote Rays.
You know, it's probably not going to make a difference. There's probably not going to be a Rays starter. But get some guys at least into phase two of voting if possible, because I know they're doing it a little differently this year. But
yeah,
Alex, any other final thoughts on the Wander call up or the state of the team right now? Are you over the losing streak now? Like that Wander's called up?
Oh, immediately! Like as soon as that happened, I was like, oh wait, we lost 6 games in a row. What? This is crazy. I was I was like, oh my god. I can't believe that happened. I'm still in shock about it. I did want to ask you something about, do you have, like, how did you feel about Glasnow's press conference on Tuesday?
Oh, yeah.
How did you feel about what he said? Because I know that we did, like, a thing about that, and then obviously there have been videos of, like, Peter Moylan, who now works for, I mean, he does a podcast with John Boy Media, but he works for the Braves thing. He showed a video about that, and obviously a bunch of other guys have come out about the sticky substances and all of that, and it's just really interesting to hear what he said about everything, because I know a lot of people would think like, oh, he's complaining about it, but he has valid points to it. I personally think he's got valid points.
He does. And I think a lot of people, the people that did take issue with what he said, he's complaining that they're not letting him cheat anymore. This is different than steroids. This is different than any other, you know, sign-stealing scandal. This was a league-wide thing. And Glasnow said he didn't say he was using SpiderTac. It wouldn't shock me if he's tried it at some point, but he said he was using sunscreen and rosin, which was like a league-wide thing. So much so, like, you have to think, this rule, the only way to enforce this rule is if the opposing team tells the umpire to go check on the opposing team's pitcher.
Yeah.
And, like, they're not going to do that because their guys are doing the same thing. It was a league-wide thing where it was the sunscreen and rosin, at least, wasn't to get a competitive advantage. It was to literally be able to grip the ball. And so Tyler Glasnow in Major League Baseball is fully aware of this, which makes this decision to crack down on rules that already existed, but they willingly did not enforce for quite a while. To do that mid-season is a slap in the face to the players. And it's something that if they wanted to handle, and Glasnow said this, do it in the offseason, not after pitchers have thrown 80-plus innings already this year and then have to, you know, start doing something completely different midseason. I hope you don't see more injuries. But I will say, this is the second time in as many years that we've seen a Rays pitcher come out and be the voice for the players. You saw Blake Snell do it last year in the middle of COVID, trying to figure out, you know, when there was this labor dispute between Major League Baseball and the players' union over pay in the shortened season. Blake Snell came out and publicly just voiced all of his opinions and before any other players really had, and all these other players came out in support of him, including Bryce Harper, I think was the biggest name. Glasnow, I think, is doing a very similar move. He is the Rays player rep. I think this was a very calculated decision for him to come out and say the things that he did. I think it's good for the players that he came out and said it. And I think all of this is really bad news for the CBA negotiations that are still looming over Major League Baseball.
Like, talking about this entire thing, I didn't realize how sticky spider tack was until, like, literally everyone has, like, shown photos of them putting spider tack on baseballs. And obviously it's been a more egregious amount, but, like, the fact that it just sticks like that is insane. It blows my mind how that can be combined with anything and anyone would do that, because that just seems extremely stupid. I remember I listened to Sesame Swimming Barbecue. They have a podcast on the Ringer Network. They said that, I think they said either like the week after the first announcement on June 4th, I think they said like 67% of pitchers, their spin rates dropped, which means that by default, that probably means that at least 2/3 of the pitchers in baseball have been using some sort of substance, whatever, you know, regardless of what that was. And that number is probably higher. And it's just, it's insane to think that, like, Major League Baseball is deciding now this is a problem, considering so many guys are using stuff. I mean, it's just like, and this is like, guys have been using stuff forever, sandpaper, Vaseline. I mean, like, it's insane the amount of stuff that guys have used on baseballs. And now it's because guys are, cause like, a couple of guys are using stupid things that just shouldn't exist. They're now banning everything instead of the things that should just be cracked down. Like, get rid of spider tack, get rid of all those like homemade substances and crap like that. Sunscreen and rosin, the baseballs are rubbed with a mud and they're not all rubbed the same. There's no system that they use in order to rub the baseballs with the mud the same. And it gets chalky after a while because, I mean, mud does help for grip, but then after a while, the mud hardens up and then the baseball just becomes more chalky and slippery. So if you put some sort of a substance on it to make it at least a little bit more grippable than mud, then the problem goes away. Like, maybe if you use some sort of a sunscreen and rosin mixture on the baseball, that would help in a big way. But they've just decided against that and are just continuing to push whatever they're pushing now. And it's, I'm afraid that more guys are going to get hurt. I really hope it doesn't happen. I know Glasnow was the first guy, and there have been a couple of guys that have gone out with like shoulder problems and all that stuff. But
with that being said, there's no way to confirm that this is what caused Glasnow's.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's 100%. Like there's no way that was 100% of the problem. I do think it partially caused it, just because, I mean, it makes sense that if a guy has to grip a baseball differently in the middle of a season and has to use more muscles in his body in order to do that, something's going to give. And sometimes when something gives, the wrong thing gives. So I can see that. I mean, there's probably other contributing factors to it, because Glasnow's had arm problems in the past. So it probably has something to do with it, but I mean, who knows at this point? It's just crazy that all this stuff, like, literally in the last week, we've had Glasnow get hurt. The Rays 6-game losing streak, Wander just got called up, this league wide memo for Major League Baseball, like everything, like, it's popping off. It's crazy.
It has been an eventful regular season in a lot of good ways, but a lot of bad ways too. So I think it's just, it's frustrating because Major League Baseball knew this was going on. This is it. They chose to do this crackdown when they did so. And yeah, if you wanted to get this out of the, like, obviously it was because they were concerned about offensive numbers being lower this year. Yeah. Well, yeah, you deadened the baseball. Like, that was a decision you made going into the year.
There have been like five different baseballs.
Offensive numbers are down. Like, what? It's been, and they were still using the juice ball in AAA. So you got guys like Vidal Brujan on pace for 40 home runs at AAA.
And Josh Lowe going off and Wander going off too. I mean,
but I don't know. I don't want to go into this huge like rant about Manfred, because I think every sports fan hates their commissioner for the sport that they like to watch. I won't go on a rant about that, but this has been frustrating. I think Glasnow was right to voice his frustration. I can understand why people might take issue with what he said. It's like, well, yeah, you weren't allowed to do that anyways. So like, you can't really come out and complain now. I get it. I think, though, that this was a calculated effort by Major League Baseball, and it's only going to make things going into the CBA negotiations a lot trickier. So Anyways, we'll end on another high note. Another reminder that Wander Franco is up in the big leagues. So.
That's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. Wander's going to be up. We're going to get to watch Wander play. We're still, I think we're still in awe by what he's done so far in his career. And I mean, my goodness, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Alex, thank you for coming on. It was a last minute thing, but
of course
the Wander news came out. I was like, all right, we got to record something tonight.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And where can people find you on Twitter, on the internet, and talk a little bit about Raise the Roof and Raise Colored Glasses?
Yeah, 100%. So I helped start this thing last August with a couple of my friends. We called it Raise the Roof, which is a great name. I'm still so happy about that name choice because it just rolls off the tongue so great. And it's a podcast where we just started talking about the Rays, I guess kind of from more like a fan's perspective of things. And it's grown a lot more. We've added more people onto the podcast. We added Bree onto the podcast, who you talked about having on for a previous thing of Raise the Voice. If you guys don't follow Bree, you should. She's fantastic. And so we've grown that, and now we have a website going on. We have a YouTube channel. Our Twitch situation, we're trying to work that out. We have a pretty big social media base. We're on Twitter and Instagram, and we need to get our TikTok going up again. That's been fantastic. I've loved every part of it. Obviously I met you, everyone at D-Race Bay. It's been fantastic meeting everyone in the race community and outside baseball community. It's been great, the support that we've gotten for it. So if you guys don't follow us there, it's Raise the Roof TB on all of our social media accounts. Just Twitter and Instagram are kind of the two big ones right now, so make sure to follow us there. And our podcast, Raise the Roof, I think we're going to do one tomorrow. So we're recording this on a Sunday. I don't know if you know, do you know the We Got Ice guys? Have you ever heard of them, their podcast?
I have not.
Oh, well, they have a podcast going on, and they have a TikTok as well that's kind of blown up. I think they have like 160,000 followers on TikTok. So we're going to have them on because they're Red Sox fans. So we're going to have them on to talk about the Red Sox series. And now we have more to talk about because Glasnow, the Glasnow situation, and the Wander situation now, which is going to be wild. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm trying to think. Rays Colored Glasses is the fan-sided Rays website. And me and Casey Kurtz are the two guys that are doing stuff for that. I actually just put out an article about kind of the Glasnow situation, sticky substances situation, the possible ramifications for Major League Baseball. So you guys can find that there. I think it's Rays Colo Glasses on Twitter. And then for me, I'm Alex_Murphy_JOUR on Twitter. So feel free to follow me there. And I'm going to be posting stuff about my articles and posting stuff about the Rays, too much stuff about other teams that I like, which you don't need to care about, Maryland lacrosse and the Sixers and other sports that I care about that don't matter. But,
Worry. I'm the same way, tweeting about Chelsea and the Tampa Bay Rowdies. So
yeah,
I'm sure I've pissed a lot of people off.
yeah. I'm sure a lot of people do not care about me talking about Maryland. I hope they care about me talking about Maryland baseball because like Brandon Lau's a Terp.
Yeah.
And like Maryland got the regionals against East Carolina, or a regional final against East Carolina, which was awesome. Thanks so much for having me on. Feel free to follow me on any of the things and make sure to follow Raise the Roof on all of our social media platforms and our podcast.
Yes, make sure to go and do that. Check out Raise the Roof if you haven't already. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Raise Your Voice. Thank you guys for listening. As always, make sure to head on over to draisebay.com to check out all of the great Raise coverage, as well as Raise the Roof and Raise Colored Glasses. Once again, thank you guys for listening, and I'll talk to you next week.